May the Lord bless you, dear heart dwellers, with firm resolve and peace and strong focus on the Lord and his soon coming and his deliverance for you. He loves you more than you love yourself, and he's already planned your escape route to heaven. And all that is going to happen in your future, he has planned to your advantage because he loves you. So rest in that. He knows exactly what he's doing, even while the world is in turmoil and chaos. He is still on the throne and very much in charge of everything that happens to us. Amen. So I was thinking to myself, there's a couple things I would like, you know, to change in the chapel or attitudes or whatever, you know. Just was thinking that. And I said, Lord, I don't want to be too legalistic. Would you please guide me? And he replied, well, if you were, what would happen to your sodas and snacks? Good point, Lord. And then he began, Claire, always do what is best for the soul. Yes, I do want respect and reverence, but not at the expense of intimacy. So we will work on a happy medium. Bodies are demanding and distracting, tugging away at you for more attention. Beloved ones, my heart for you is freedom to worship in spirit and in truth. So if your body is screaming at you, this is not an ascetic marathon to prove how self-controlled you are because you didn't take a sip of water, get up to use the restroom or whatever. It's not what it's about. That's my addition. Give it what it needs, your body that is. Now it is always better to cover those things before you gather for worship or a teaching, but sometimes circumstances are such that it doesn't happen that way. In those moments, it is better for you to get your medicine or drink or snack without guilt. This is not prison. It's a place where we make ourselves available to one another without distraction. And I want to add here, rustling plastic bags and paper bags is a no-no. So whatever you put it in, make sure you put it in something quiet to open. As far as proper attitudes go, they are so important, so as not to spoil the sweetness of corporate worship or gatherings. You all need to be together because I am shifting gears with you. What used to happen to you in solitary moments with me and worship is now going to happen in your gathering. This is so important to me and to you for your protection and to highly concentrate the atmosphere of heaven on earth, making it safe and possible to enter into your master's joy, to hear the sentiments of his heart. There are things that are important to me to keep this atmosphere holy. As a community, you have been given a symbol. The angels, the saints, the demons, and people on earth recognize you belong to a family. You have given up the vanities of the world to concentrate on me and what is of utmost importance to me. You wear the habit of holiness given you by St. Francis himself, a true reformer of the church. And he was that because he saw all the excess and splendor and money and power and all that. He saw all that. And he came in with Lady Poverty and gave a totally different example. And in fact, the Pope, who had kind of dismissed him for an audience, had a dream about him, that this little man, scruffy man, came to St. John Lateran, the church, or the sanctuary, the pillars were starting to fall down. And he leaned against the pillar and it held the church up. He's a true reformer. And that's part of our job, is to be an example to people, not to put any trust in the world system. He's going to raise up the church in a totally different way. It's going to be raised up with small groups in clusters all over the world, which will come together at different times. And there won't be politics or money involved in it, to the best of our ability anyway. All right, that's why the church is crumbling now, because those things have become more important than the Lord and the presence of God. In wearing this, you signal to the world and to one another that all your joy comes from God. Joy is the hallmark of a religious, no matter how much they are suffering at the time. Francis calls it also perfect joy. No matter the external circumstances, you are steadfast in joy. Mother is learning this, and I want you to embrace it as well. I have the fly swatter. Thank you. Ta-da! Go away. All right, I didn't want to use holy water because I didn't want to get it on my computer, but I want to share with you guys that flies tend to run for their life if you sprinkle holy water on them, because they're being guided by demons to distract you. Yeah, I just want to take a minute to say that for me, one of the reasons why I didn't come to Mass was because I needed to be intimate with the Lord in the mornings. It hasn't happened for me that way in the past when I went to Mass. There's just too much of the world around me. Okay, but being with you guys in the Mass is beautiful, because we're all focused on the Lord. And so I'm replacing some of the time that I would spend in the morning on my own with being with you in corporate worship. And it's really working. The Lord is changing gears. He's showing up at our Masses. He's giving personal words to us. At our Mass, we're having visions of him, and he's reaching out to dance with you. So it's beautiful, really, what he's doing. And in order to preserve the beauty of that, there are certain things we need to observe and to do. Okay, and I wanted to relate to you something that happened to me with the Sisters of Charity, Mother Teresa's group. I went to their convent in Phoenix, and I asked for prayer, and the sister was so sweet that joy just radiated over her face. And I came away feeling really touched and edified. And I was going down the road, and I felt the graces land on me that she had prayed for.
Wow.
Yeah, really felt that impartation from her, from the Lord through her. When a brother or sister shows signs of being unhappy, sick, weak, or distracted, and you have come together for prayer, teaching, and worship, I want your focus to be on me, not yourself. Please, please do not draw attention to yourself by the posture or the look on your face. Please do not do this. Your enemy will try to cause you to fall into self-pity, longing for attention. But except for the most serious situations, I want you to show your brothers and sisters your peaceful and calm attitude. Anything other than that is stealing attention from me and my agenda for the gathering. Things like excessive talking, looking at your phone, interrupting one another, talking over mother or whoever is speaking, staying outside, being restless, and projecting impatience are poor manners and conflict with what my spirit wants to do. Please, little ones, recognize when to talk and when to be silent. If you have something to say, make it brief, unless you are in a meeting where details are important. Now, For the couple of you that have to step outside for a moment, that's okay. But the rest of the time, he really wants us to have a cohesive group, come back in and be cohesive. You are going to help me with your devout and peaceful posture, not only of body, but of heart and mind as well. I need this from you. I need you to be an example to others of respect and reverence, not just in the chapel, but at all times. Let your respect for one another be clear to all by your polite actions. The last thing I want you to consider is that the demons are continually anticipating how I am going to touch you, communicate with you, or give an impartation that is timely and really needed. In those moments, the gang of unscrupulous entities are commanded to make you get up and leave. Go home, get into bed, use the restroom, or have an unkind thought about someone which shuts your receiving atmosphere down. Beware of urges to leave the room. For the most part, you are being played. These evil ones are dedicated to stealing graces from you, inspiring strife, resentment, and disrupting the movement of grace. The animals also can be moved by their suggestions. My precious community, study situations until you recognize the source. So if we're proceeding with a good meeting and all of a sudden you start to feel bad or something crosses your mind and hooks you, take a look at that and recognize the source. Don't allow your face to become resentful or angry or ugly in any way at all. Deal with it. Recognize the source. That's true in marriage too. When two people are standing there having a discussion that becomes heated, there's also demons behind each one of them that are causing the problem to accelerate. And if you want to have a good marriage, you have to shut that thing down. And sometimes you shut it down with, "I understand, honey, I'm sorry." Even when you're not in fault, that's a good way to shut it down. And then you can talk about it later if you have to. Use the utmost self-control, knowing that the room is full of ugly demons to derail you. Jump the tracks and lose your cargo, injuring those around you at the same time. See beyond what is happening all the way to the source and take authority over it. Cut it off. In the name of Jesus, be silent. Or in the name of Jesus, leave and don't return. Or the blood of Jesus be against you, Satan. Or when we do with the crows, you know, praying to Saint Michael, he comes down from heaven and he sends his big angels with big swords and a lot of power to take care of the entities that are using those crows, right? He continued, "I want you to have a joy-filled time together with me, where the angels and saints are with you in joyful abandon, an open heaven experience. And when one of you is putting out toxic emotions or thoughts, it affects everyone. Please, when you feel that way, the first thing you should do is suspect demonic interference. The last thing you should do is cave in on yourself. That caving in is like a pinprick to a beautiful Holy Spirit balloon, really an atmosphere of holiness. It's like a pinprick to that and destroys what I am wanting to do. Very important graces for each one of you are lost. So I'm asking you, dear children, from the bottom of my heart, do not cave in to this negativity. Do not be affected and take offense. And don't allow them to effectively steal graces from yourself and from others. I can always bring you comfort afterwards. Assist me in this, dear ones. I wish to impart to you many graces, but many times they are stolen by you giving place to the devil. I love and cherish you, and have so much more to give you. Please help me. And I wanted to mention, the angels are here as well as sometimes the demons get in, but the angels are here. And sometimes we walk into the room with company, bad company, right? Because we're struggling with something. And the Lord doesn't want us to show that. He wants us to have a joyful face and then work on it later. Okay, well, when you get up and leave, there's a very good chance. This happened to you the other day. I was trying to weigh things. I knew that the music was loud, and I knew you were sensitive to it. I didn't want you to be uncomfortable, and I didn't want to stop you from having the kind of worship you were having. But the minute you left, the Lord played two very quiet, intimate songs. And I recognized that I had made a mistake by letting you go, because the music was just about to switch. And the power of the Holy Spirit came down, and some beautiful things happened, which you didn't get to experience. So I've got to be smarter, and part of that's a function of you praying for me. And we should have stopped and laid hands on you and put you in bed so that you wouldn't miss out. Well, I'm the one who made the mistake, sweetheart, not you. We should have done more to help you so that you could receive. Right, and the devils will make you very sick just before Mass, just before an important meeting, just before the atmosphere is going to shift. I want you to recognize the fingerprints. Like, they made me feel sick a little while ago. Something made me feel sick, and I got into the zero gravity chair and had something to drink, and that cleared it up. I could have said, guys, I'm not feeling well. It's the end of the meeting. Would that have been right? Not in the least. It wouldn't have been right to deprive you of the graces that God was pouring out at the time. But the enemy wanted me to. He wanted to shut me down. And I was tempted. But they passed. That's the thing. Will pass if you resist it. And it's the enemy. They'll get tired of trying to foil you, to mess you up, because you refuse to give in to that inspiration, and you work with it, whatever the situation is. What I'm trying to tell you is that they make a concerted effort to push you out the door, and if you go for it, then you've been fooled. Or we could have laid hands on her, prayed for her, and made her comfortable, and they would have lost. They would have stopped trying. They'll put sickness on you in all situations that are important. They'll try to do that. So that's the end of that message.